Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And it is the start of a new year. We were talking about decluttering, and that was kind of a therapy. And now we're doing more therapy. This is our New Year's show.
Dr. John Duffy joins us. John, I know we have something very specific to talk about today. However, the big story here in Chicago this week was the Bears and the ugly finish against the Philadelphia Eagles. Yep, that sound that Wendy just made has been playing in our heads since Sunday afternoon. All right, so in addition to watching a football game on Sunday, we were also watching a mental game. You know what I mean. The kicker for the Bears, Cody Parkey, has had so many incidents this year where a kick hits the pole, hits the uprights, and it doesn't go our way. And everybody kept saying, well, that's not going to happen in the playoffs. What a horrible finish that would be. And then it happened in the playoffs, and what a horrible
ironic,
finish it
isn't
was.
It?
More than ironic.
Right.
Alanis Morissette. Boy, she's always right.
Oh.
All right. Let's talk about the psychology of that. Let's say you're a pro athlete, and you've had incidents like he's had all year where, as luck may have it, the ball he kicks hits the posts and it doesn't work out.
Right.
That's in his head then in the last minute of the game, isn't it?
It's not just in his head, but there's this research that Malcolm Gladwell did a few years ago with a tennis player, Bill, that you might find interesting, where she got so in her head early in a match, and she was ahead, that she started thinking about each swing. And by the time she was thinking about the swing, the ball was already past her, and she lost every single game, and she had won the first set.
Right.
So what I think happened with Parkey is, over the course of the season, as you miss a couple of these field goals that are awfully close, you get in your head and you psych yourself out. And so instead of muscle memory taking over, think about the kick right before.
Beautiful.
Right?
Well, even that wasn't beautiful, but
it went through.
Through
the uprights, right? He did his job.
Before
and
he was iced.
Right. And once he was iced, he was in his head. And, you know, the icing was actually probably a pretty brilliant call on the part of the Eagles. And it made him think for a moment. And the minute you think, I think as an athlete or anybody who works from muscle memory, a musician, virtually anybody who works through muscle memory, if that gets disrupted and you start to actually think through moment to moment what you're doing, you're bound to make a mistake that you wouldn't make otherwise.
Makes sense.
I know this is stupid and I know my live reads are not that great, but when I'm rolling through it, if all of a sudden I start going, wow, I'm really nailing this. And I think instead of just being in the moment, screw it up every time.
Right.
Every time.
It's a great example. Yeah.
So the game is over. The team loses. He gets support from the team. The teammates come over. They hug him. They tell him they love him.
Yes.
We've got your back, they all say to him. When he goes to bed at night and he lays in bed, what is that night going to be like for him?
I think the first few nights are like literally like a post-traumatic event. I mean,
although he's making a lot of money still, so that takes away some of the pain, doesn't it?
I think it does, although, you know, I think when you hear so many negative things about yourself, you see it on Twitter, you see it in the newspapers, I think that plays a number on you. I think the fear of, this is my legacy, this is what I've done with my entire life to date, and this moment is going to define it. Nobody's going to remember that I had not a bad percentage, even this entire year.
Right.
People are going to remember the doinks.
So Bill Buckner, who we all know from baseball lore, was the Boston Red Sox first baseman, and a ball goes under his legs and it costs the Red Sox the World Series. He has talked so many times about the depression that he went through after that.
Yeah.
Because even though it's just a baseball and he fielded thousands and thousands of them, that one time when he really needed to get the ball over, he didn't get it over. So what is that like for the rest of a guy's life? Are you always going to be that moment?
And Buckner didn't even have the internet.
No, he did not.
No, right, exactly, right?
So, sorry to interrupt.
No, but that's correct. I mean, so things have acted, the ante has been upped in terms of the criticism,
right.
No doubt, because of the internet, and it's easy because it's kind of like internet rage, like road rage. It's you know, you're a little bit anonymous when you offer it. But here's what Parkey has, I think, on his side that Buckner might not have had.
Yeah.
Is if you look through the press, you'll find plenty of negative things about him. He should be fired. He's not doing his job well. You will also find, even in the past few days, some really positive press about him. Forbes, The Washington Post, Heidi Stevens at the Tribune wrote a really great piece about how he has taught her kids the grace of losing with, you know, some elegance and some degree of grace.
Right.
And so he actually has the luxury, I think, of being, of failing grandly at this point in time.
Because
I think we are past this point where we are willing to bully somebody into ruining them.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you was, not the player psychology, but us, the fan psychology.
Yeah.
Is there was a time, and I mean, we've already talked about Bill Buckner, but I said the next day, I said, when you think about the football players of old, those gritty, gritty, angry men, would they have embraced him and said, hey, we got your back, we love you, we'll hug you? That wouldn't have happened 20 years ago, would it?
I was thinking the very thing, and I was thinking 20 years ago. So you think about a Bears team 20 years ago, any professional team 20 years ago, and they would throw that guy under the bus.
Yep.
So I think we have developed collectively some emotional intelligence in sports and otherwise that has allowed us to back off. I was just telling you guys that I was worried right after that Parkey kick, once I was past the grief of it, what's going to happen to this guy? Are we going to Steve Bartman this guy?
Right.
And as it turns out, we didn't. And I think everybody kind of had to take a pause and a moment, even his fellow players, and recognize, okay, this was a mistake. He didn't do his job very well. It is not. He kicks footballs for a living. This is not worth ruining a guy's life.
But right? He should kick him through the uprights if that's what he does for a living.
Yeah,
and I'm not being mean. And quite honestly, I was so mad when it happened, like immediately, like, are you kidding me? But then almost immediately after that, I felt so sorry for him. And I started, as the day went on the next day, the offense didn't do much either. He got us with his prior field goals. He got us close to tying the game and being ahead. They could have done more on the offense.
Well, this is where the narrative, I think, online is pretty helpful, because there's this retrospective that people do. We want to react just to the moment, but when you look back to the game as a whole, the team didn't perform as well as they could have, as well as they have all year. They kind of played conservatively in the fourth quarter. We're not doing sports analysis, but this is
right,
my argument.
Right.
And so it comes down to a field goal kick, and I think most teams would say, we don't want it to come down to that. We don't want to rely on a kicker, especially a guy who's struggling over the course of the year, and yet this is what it came down to. So everybody kind of took
one more
their
touchdown,
hit.
And it wouldn't have come down to that.
Right.
So maybe, you know.
Yep, very true.
Happened.
Right.
All right, thanks for helping us sort that out. We'll take a little break and then more with Dr. John Duffy next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Dr. Duffy, my eyes.
Wait, that's not the right lyric,
no,
is it?
It
you changed the lyrics, Weird Al Yankovic.
Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist. You can hear him on Better, the podcast he does with his wife, Julie, and his book, The Available Parent, drjohnduffy.com. You're also doing some of the nightside shows here on WGN, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, it's very fun stuff.
He's on the radio.
Yeah, that's thank you, guys.
That's fun.
And thank you. That wouldn't have happened before, but for you guys. So I appreciate that.
You're very,
seriously,
very welcome. Here's a huge problem that I'm just becoming aware of.
Yeah.
And that it's marijuana related and it's kid related. Explain.
Weed hater.
I'm a weed hater.
You're a weed hater.
Yep.
I find myself to be more and more a weed hater too. And the way kids justify weed is, it's a far more safer drug than alcohol. Nobody ever dies from smoking weed.
Yeah.
But what they fail to recognize is it drains motivation, and there are a number of negative effects to smoking on a regular basis. But one thing that some other therapists and I have been noticing in the last, let's say, 2, maybe 3 years or so, is we've worked with a lot of young people, young men in particular, who have had a moment where they smoke pot recreationally, and they the next day they feel odd, and over time they feel like, I'm never going to find my right mind again. I feel weird. I feel flat. I can't find my affect. I can't think straight. And I think I'm losing my mind, and I don't think there's any way to recoup it. And this goes on for weeks, sometimes months, up to 6 months, before they finally get their bearings.
So we know what's causing this?
Yeah, what's happening?
So I've talked to a couple of psychiatrists about this, and they are perplexed about what causes this. There are a couple of theories. One is that the potency factor of pot is far higher than it used to be by 10-fold or 20-fold or even 30-fold, and there's no real easy way to know what dose you are smoking.
Yeah.
That's
what's so scary. You open a beer, you know what's in a beer. You get a joint from someone, you have no idea. And I'm not talking like fentanyl or dusted. you don't know the strength, the quality, anything.
No, and it's not just joints now. So you've got things like dabs and wax and edibles, and this stuff becomes even more difficult to dose, and kids have really no idea. And even people who own dispensaries, I talked to one guy in Colorado who said, yeah, I'm not sure exactly how to dose this either. So this is all
That's scary.
A chemistry experiment. It is scary. It is quite scary.
At some point, there's a rebound.
Yes.
At some point, but there's no telling when that rebound will come or if it'll come, or does it always come back?
So far, in my experience and the experience of the therapists I've talked to, the rebound has always come. On the long end, it's taken 6 months, and 6 months of effectively not functioning, not getting out of bed sometimes, not making it to school, feeling so far out of your regular mind. And the funky thing is, when you talk to these kids, they seem like they're functioning perfectly well. They seem like what they describe themselves to be. Their personalities ring.
Yeah.
And yet they don't feel that.
Why is it more guys than girls?
I think more guys have a habit of smoking than girls do by a significant number. Although that's closing, but it's still a significant gap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things are so much different. When I was in high school, there were a few people that smoked pot, and sometimes some people were experimental with it. Jewels were not around.
Nope.
Vapes. Yeah.
Right.
And you make a point about it being stronger and more potent. It smells completely differently now than it did the 70s and 80s.
Yes, it's far stronger. It's far,
yes.
I think kids would say, skunkier.
Yes.
And there's all these different strains. So if you went into a shop and in Colorado and said, I find that I'm anxious a lot of the time, they'd say, oh, you should try this strain over here. I'm depressed a lot of the time. Oh, well, this one over here is going to be the one that helps you. But it's all a little disheartening because we're normalizing something that I think is, in effect, self-medicating. You
right.
know, I think
Absolutely.
Anybody who smokes frequently is medicating anxiety and or depression in a very inefficient, sometimes dangerous way.
Although they're doing it with alcohol, too.
Absolutely.
John,
absolutely.
In the areas of the country where marijuana is legal, are they still experiencing this level of the symptoms you just described?
I think it's a little more managed when it's not 16-year-olds who are selling it, but actually dispensaries who may know a little bit more about the effects of the strains that they are selling. But it still happens in Colorado and Idaho and California for sure.
Why isn't this getting more press? That's a huge...
It's part of the reason I wanted to talk to you guys about it is that I researched it last night.
Yeah.
I've talked to 5 or 6 therapists over the course of the last 2 weeks about it. Every single one of us has experienced this multiple times.
Yeah.
But I think we're the only ones who know this is a phenomenon. And most of these kids think they are suffering alone and they're the only ones who have ever felt this. So part of the reason I wanted to talk about it was I wanted them to know this is something you will get over, but it's also a cautionary tale for anybody who is smoking now because you're not sure what the impact is going to be.
But is this enough of a deterrent? Like, if I was a kid that was using it with some regularity, I would go, like everything else, well, that's not going to happen to me.
Right, right.
You know?
And unfortunately, you're probably right that it's not enough of a deterrent. But my hope is that if there's enough talk about this, it might be a deterrent to some kids.
Good.
And at least might get them thinking about what they're ingesting.
Yeah.
I will say this. I am a proponent for legalizing marijuana. I am. I think it's a good idea for adults. And I have to throw out the for adults. I have to be honest with you. When I was a stupid teenager, I didn't realize that my brain wasn't fully formed yet.
Sure.
At what age? Because this is stuff we know now. I mean, maybe some people knew it when we were growing up, but
right.
I sure thought my brain was fully developed. I think it's still developing, quite honestly. But that's the problem. These kids whose brains aren't fully developed, alcohol or marijuana, not good for them. How old are we when our brains are fully formed?
It's actually around the mid-20s.
Really?
Especially important parts of the brain. Not the parts that keep us alive, but the parts that that manage executive functioning, that impulse control and self-regulation, all that stuff that is managed by the frontal lobe is still developing until we're about 25 years old. And if we short-circuit that development, then we never really fully gain all those capacities. And that's dangerous over the course of life.
And scary when you know it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So whose job will it be to look into this, John, and find out what's happening and why this is more prevalent than ever?
My hope is that the APA, that the APA and the FDA do studies into what is what's the phenomenon at play here, what's driving this, because this specific phenomenon I'm describing is alarming and growing. That's something that's palpable. I can tell that that's happening.
Yeah.
So it requires some kind of attention from an agency or a substantial lobbying group like the APA. But the pot use overall, I think we are overly cavalier because we are legalizing this. And I'm with you, Wendy. I am absolutely for the legalization of marijuana. There are far more lethal drugs that are legal and on the market now, but we have to teach our kids how to regulate that if that's something they're going to be doing.
And I mean, alcohol is legal and there are people that have problems with it and many of us who don't.
Yeah.
The same's going to happen when marijuana becomes legal. There are going to be people that abuse it and people that don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And education around that kind of issue is the way to mitigate it and get past it for sure.
Always a pleasure talking to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
We look forward to seeing you again, Dr. John Duffy. Best way for people to get in touch with you?
Yeah, drjohnduffy.com is a pretty good clearinghouse for me. You can find just about everything I do right there.
Thank you so
much.
Thanks, guys.